Now, there are two questions, b'siyata d'shmaya, that I'd like to deal with today. First question is, what does halacha do to transform a Jew? What is it that halacha does to us that changes us? And number two, after we discuss what halacha does, is ask why specifically halacha. First, what we're going to do is describe what halacha does. And the second thing that we're going to do is describe why specifically halacha does it and not other things. I'm going to start this Yatna Nishraya from a place that at first glance almost seems to be entirely irrelevant, a very uncomfortable parsha in the Torah, but a parsha in the Torah that I think is going to shed tremendous, tremendous light. You know, it reminds me, there was once a policeman that worked for a municipality that had an interesting idea. The idea was, instead of penalizing people who weren't driving properly, what they did was they actually rewarded people. So a cop would follow behind someone, and if the guy was driving properly, the next 5 minutes, instead of giving him a ticket, you would give him a cash rebate. Okay, one time, he's following behind a fellow, and the guy's driving properly. So he pulls him over, and he says, don't worry, not a ticket. I'm giving you a cash coupon. So the cop is writing it out for the fellow, and he says, by the way, what are you going to use this $100 for? The guy says, I think I'm going to buy myself a license. Cop says, what? His wife, who's sitting next to him, says, don't listen to him, he's drunk. The guy in the back seat says, how could he be drunk if we just stole the car? The cop says, pull over the car. And the trunk pops open, and a little kid pump jumps out and says, have we crossed the border yet? Why do I say this joke? The reason why I use this joke is to open up that sometimes you take a look at a parsha, and it seems to be saying one thing, and really the parsha might be teaching us something that we might not have noticed entirely. The parsha is the abduction of the Imahos. Avimelech abducts Sarah Imenu, and Avram Avinu says to Avimelech that Sarah is his sister. And Avimelech says to Avram, why did you lie to me? Question number one. Avimelech says to Avram, Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. The reason I lied to you is because people over here aren't God-fearing. What type of answer is that? Is that justification to lie because someone is not religious? God forbid. One of the biggest chilul Hashem is when a religious person does something wrong and he says, oh, they're only Gentiles or they're only not religious. That's not Avram Avinu at all. We know Avram Avinu didn't have that attitude to anybody in the world. So what does Avram Avinu mean when he says, Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh? Question number one. Question number two. Rashi already points out that Avimelech, when he's visited by God, says, Bisam levavi, with a pure heart, uvenikyon kapai, and with clean hands, asisi zos. I did it with a pure heart and with clean hands. Notice, this is going to be very, very important. The clean hands are going to be very important. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you did it. Bisam levavcha. You did it with a clean heart. You didn't do anything wrong. You dated a single girl. You thought she was a single girl. But he doesn't say, B'nikyon kapai. Rashi points out that Avimelech says, B'sam levavi, with a pure heart, U'b'nikyon kapai. And of Kaddish Baruch, who says to Avimelech, you did it, B'sam levavcha, but your hands are not clean. Question number one is, what is Avram's statement of Rakin Yerushalakim HaMalkom HaZeh? Secondly, what is this give and take between Avimelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Avimelech claims that he was pure, sincere, and his hands are clean. Hashem says, no, you were sincere, but your hands aren't clean. And finally, let's talk about that pasuk for a moment. Pure heart and clean hands. When you put back the Torah, there's a beautiful song that we sing, Eitz Chayim Ni L'Mafazikimbo, right? We also say, when we put back the Torah, David HaMelech said, Min Ya'ale Bahar Hashem, U'mi Yakum Bimkom Kodshoy, the same thing, pure heart and clean hands. Min Ya'ale Bahar Hashem, U'mi Yakum Bimkom Kodshoy, Niki Chapayim, U'var Levov. Var means also pure. David HaMelech has the exact same expression as Avimelech, but he does it in the inverted order. He doesn't say, Besam levavi uvenikyon kapai. He speaks about clean hands first and a pure heart after. Question number three for today is on this parsha of Sarah's abduction, is why is it that David has the same idea of Avimelech, but he inverts the order? So three questions. Avram says, Raka yirsalakim makom azah. What type of argument is that? Question number two is, what does Hashem mean when Hashem said that Avimelech, you did it with a pure heart, but your hands aren't clean? Number three, why is it that David HaMelech inverts the order? It's actually quite meaningful for me right now to give you the answer to this question that I heard from my Rebbe, because my Rebbe just passed away. I'm an Avelus for both my father and my Rebbe in America. My other Rebbe, Rav Nemensal, is the Rav of the Old City. So I went into Rav Nemensal and I said to Rav Nemensal, in 2 months, I lost my father, and I lost my Rebbe. I said, you're the only one that's left. You have to live until 120. So he said, Ami. My Rebbe, Rav Braunspiegel, from the United States, he put me on my feet. I was in his shir for many, many, many years. He was one of the greatest, least known Marbitzei Torah in America. He had thousands of Talmidim. He answered this question by reflecting on his childhood experience. My Rebbe was a child survivor of the Holocaust. And my Rebbe said that he remembers growing up, that actually he grew up in a very conflicted society, in a sense that Germany was actually looked at as the most ethical society before the war. And my Rebbe begins his Sefer with this Dvar Torah, and he says that Avram Avinu's response to Avimelech was, yes, you pride yourself on being an ethical society. Ramban writes that Gerar was the most ethical society of its time. But if its ethics came from their own rational thought, it didn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Avram Avinu is telling Avimelech, you claim and you pride yourself as having some levavah, pure heart, and a ki kapayim, but rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. If what's guiding us, if what's creating us, is not a system, which we're going to explain is going to be connected to halacha, is not a system that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's based on what makes you feel spiritual, what you think is ethical, then God forbid v'haraguni al farishti. Avram Avinu continues, you would never take a married woman, but you'll find a way to justify and I'll disappear. And my Rebbe says, that's what they experienced in Europe. What they experienced was a society which prided itself on ethics. The Holocaust itself was based on ethics. You know, the altar of Slobodka was once approached by a Talmud from Germany. Slobodka was in Lithuania. And the Alter of Slobodka was approached by the Talmud, who said, I just came back from a Bein Hazmanin, which we've just finished as well, a break. And he said, I went home to Germany. And in Germany, he said, sometimes the people on the street are more polite than they are in the shtetl here in Lithuania. And the Alter of Slobodka said to him one line. He said to him, sometimes polite isn't necessarily midos tovos. The tragedy of the story is years later, this Talmud was in the Holocaust. And the author had asked him, give me an example of what their polite, not necessarily midos tovos, are. So he said, when you walk down the street, when you ask directions in Germany, they give you directions up until the end. Not like here, Lahavdil and Eretz Yisrael. Here, if you get lost, he asks somebody, and they say, Yemina, v'tishalsha, make a right and ask over there. In Germany, we call it the Sride, that you would ask someone, and they would draw out for you exactly, and they would stay with you the whole time. And then they end, and said to the altar, then they end with a question. They end with the question, is it not so? Out of deference, is it not so? And the altar said in his line that sometimes polite doesn't necessarily mean those. Years later, when he was in the camps, there was a German who hit him, and he said to him, Jew, it hurts. Is it not so? And the words of the altar run back. Says Avram Avinu to Avimelech, Raken Yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. At the end of the day, the system of life that's going to be a truly spiritual and ethical system has to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be inspired from God. So let's go back to our questions. We had two other questions. Avimelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'sam levavi, with a clean heart, and with igil kapai, clean hand, of sisizot. And Hashem says to him, yes, I'll give it to you. You did it with a pure heart, but your hands aren't clean. David HaMelech uses the same term. Mi yale b'har Hashem u'mi yakum b'mkoyim kodshoy, miki chapayin, clean hands, uvar levav. But inverted, he doesn't speak about the heart first. He speaks about clean hands first. Why does he speak about clean hands before the pure heart? The answer is that David HaMelech is teaching us that sometimes ethics and spirituality has to start not with the heart, but has to start with the action. It has to start with our hands. And later, what follows is dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avimelech's mistake is that Avimelech relied on his own intellect. Avimelech assumes that in his or her own intellect, they could reach a place of godliness. And David HaMelech says that it starts Niki Chapayim, it starts with clean hands, and then Uvar Levav, and then it starts with a pure heart. Let's use a term for this. Holy instincts. What Halacha tries to put inside of us are instincts that are holy. Not only that our intellect should be holy, but our instincts should be holy. And let's bring it out from something that happened this morning. The Rebbetzins in the back could attest. Throughout the world, whether it is in the Five Towns, or whether it's in St. Louis, Missouri, or whether it's in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh, the odds are they're the little kid, 1, 2, 3 years old, who got up a little earlier than the mother had hoped that the child would get up that morning. And the little kid comes into the bedroom and says to and wakes up the mother. What is one of the first things that mother asks? The boy's name could be Yudel in Mea Shearim, or the boy's name could be Judah in St. Louis. But throughout the world, a Jewish mother turns to her little child, her boy and her girl, and Mea Shearim asks, you're a Nebel Vassar the Mat Shai?
We fire up in that shore.
Did you wash Nebel Vassar? What in the world is going on? Did you wash Nebel Vassar? Did you wash Natilas Yadayin? The child has no hasaga of what Tuma and Tahara is. No hasaga of the notions of purity and impurity. I'm burning in the Grus Kolol, I'm Bli Ayin Hara, 48 years old, and I'm still only scraping the surface of the ideas of Tuma and Tahara. But you know what happens throughout the world, in the world of Halacha, in the Jewish home? Our topic today is Halacha in the Jewish home. You know what happens? From the beginning, a child is taught that there are certain ideas even before they understand it intellectually. Halacha is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us holy instincts to be able to slowly come closer to Him, that we should develop. What were the words of David HaMelech? Mamish these words. Miki chapayin, clean hands, uvar levav. And then the heart will follow. Now, of course, the heart has to follow. If the heart doesn't follow, so then in such a case, it leads to corruption as well. But Avimelech has it wrong. Avimelech thinks that with his intellect, he's going to reach that place of spirituality. That's not going to happen. It happens in the inverted order. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Besam levavcha, you did it with a pure heart." But what was missing is a nikyon kapai. You were missing those clean hands. If, God forbid, only what happens is you teach children just to do and do and do halacha, it reminds me of the following tragic story. They say a story from Borough Park that there was once a Hasidish boy that was unfortunately not doing well religiously. So this story goes back to my days of television. So he came into an electronics store in Borough Park, and he asked from the Hasidic proprietor that he wants to buy a television, which, of course, in most Hasidic homes is prohibited. So the proprietor says, "A Hasidish boy like you, it's not a joke. The television's not appropriate." A few weeks later, the boy is a little bit worse. He took off his payas. He's still wearing a kippah. He goes into another store in Borough Park, and he asks for a television. And the fellow says to him, "A Hasidish boy like you, it's not appropriate, a television." The third time, he goes into the store. He looks like someone. He has a tiny kippah. He asks the proprietor, and proprietor for a television, proprietor says, "The Hasidish boy, it's not appropriate, a television." He turns to the proprietor and he says, "Why do you think I'm a Hasidish boy? I don't look like a Hasidish boy." He says, "Because you were pointing to the microwave." The point of the joke is that at the end of the day, if it's only going to be halacha, the holy instincts are just going to be halacha, and we never fill in the halacha that way, then ultimately it's not going to last either. But what halacha does, if the chinuch of your children, Mirtz Hashem, is going to be both, it's going to start with the holy instincts, and then you're going to fill it in with the meaning of it, then Mirtz Hashem will reach the place of being zofet to David HaMelech's description of someone who's nekicha paim uvar levav. The most dramatic example that I saw of this in my life is the following story. I was zocha to teach in the Grus Kolo, someone who's a Marbitz Torah today. His name is Rav Yaakov Tesler. It was a special zikus for me because I grew up with his grandfather. His grandfather, like many of the Jews that I was zocha to daven with, very, very simple Jews, but very holy Jews, most of them had numbers on their arm. Most of them were survivors. And Rabban Shul Tesler, to me, he was an electrician. Every morning I would see him at Shacharis in his green uniform, his electrician uniform. And he was there every morning at 5:30 learning the Daf Yomi. At 6:30 he was davening. You know, I was a teenager. Sometimes teenagers get up late. Even after we're teenagers, we get up late. I used to come sometimes to the 8:30, 8:45 minyan. Rav Anshul was already after his second daf. He used to push everybody to teach him daf yomi. Sometimes after his second daf yomi shir, his fourth time around with the push, he used to be the Jew that would go around the pushka every morning. The paradigm of a holy, simple Jew who served God with consistency. I was actually zofet when I taught here in the Old City. One of the first times he spoke about the Holocaust was when I brought him to Nativ Aryeh. And he spoke, and it was recorded as one of the only times that he spoke publicly about his experience. His entire family was killed al Kiddush Hashem. They were visionitzer chassidim. But there was one story that he didn't tell that his grandson told me, that his grandfather told him afterwards. Once we opened them up, he told him the following story. Maybe he couldn't say this story publicly. His grandson told me, Rabbi Yaakov told me, that after the war, he had nothing. The Jews received a tremendous amount of late chesed from the Jews in America. And he said immediately he received a pair of tefillin, he had food, and he started in Europe, started thinking about rebuilding his life with nothing left. He said one morning, it wasn't the first day after they were liberated, it was about 6 months afterwards, he said he woke up and he was furious. And I felt God had taken everything from that. And he decided that he's not putting on the tefillin and he's not davening today. So he took out the newspaper. Maybe he took off his yarmulke, I don't know. And he started to read the newspaper. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. He was hungry. It was time for breakfast. And then he remembered the voice of his mother. His mother said, Anshel far davenin esmenisht. He grew up in a home that you don't eat before davenin. That's what his mother had taught him. But he didn't want to die. He was so angry at her. But his mother had taught him as a little child, far davenin esmenisht. So he told his grandson, 10:30 on the morning, he put on his tefillin, and he screamed at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he put on his tefillin. And that was the man that I grew up as a child, as the ultimate expression of a mispalel shachris, of a lomei daf yomi and a miniach tefillin. There are times that the heart is going to have a lot of questions. There are times that the heart is not going to feel it. David HaMelech says, no, what halacha does is it creates holy incense. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's not convenient, and most significantly, I have less rachmanis when it's inconvenient. But even then it's hard. It's also, maybe I should have some rachmanis when it's inconvenient also. But at times, not only is it inconvenient, we don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to us. And specifically the individual who's going through all those struggles one day might be the ultimate paradigm, not the paradigm of simply keeping the core halacha, the raw halacha, but will embody the essence of what the halacha is. So b'siyata d'shmaya, I think we tried to answer the first question. We had two questions that we started with today. One question is, what does halacha do to a Jew? And we describe what halacha does is it creates holy instincts, it refines us, it allows us to overcome and encourages us to overcome certain obstacles that we might not be able to with our intellect, and God forbid if we rely on our intellect. Avraham Avinu warns Avimelech Rakin Yerusalekim b'maklem hazeh v'arukuni al dvar ishti, that the intellect could take us to awful, awful places if we simply rely on that. And that brings us to now, after that yesod of describing what halacha does, now we need to ask ourselves the second question. And the second question is, what is it about halacha that changes us in a way that it has to be through the system of halacha? In other words, let me refine the question. Let's talk about we spoke about the what, and now we're going to talk about the why. We spoke about what halacha does. Now we need to ask ourselves, why particularly halacha? Why is it that we don't create a system that simply emphasizes spirituality? Isn't there a way that through meditation and through focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we come close to God? Why is it that there is the system that focuses on these details? Why is it that it's important that we ask ourselves if the water is in a kli, is in a utensil, or is it not in a utensil? Just the general idea, of spirituality, the general idea of Tumah v'Tahara. Why specifically through the process of halacha? And I want to share with you three parts to the answer to that question, and hopefully if there are any follow-up questions, I hope to have time to be able to answer your questions as well. There are three yesodos that I want to share with you this morning. One based on the Nefesh HaChaim, that is a very, very, very important yesod. Nefesh HaChaim is a very, very important sefer. Nefesh HaChaim was written by Rav Chaim Volozhiner, one of the principal students of the Gra. Now, the Gra was an Ish Elokim. The Gra was amazing. The Gra, they say, after he made a cheshbon ha-nefesh before Yom Kippur. He had made a cheshbon that he had been mevatel Torah for 10 minutes and 17 seconds. In other words, the Gra was essentially a Malach Hashem Tzavakos in human form. But the Gra never did two things. The Gra never formulated his Hashkafa, what we would call today Hashkafa, and the Gra never created a system of learning in his Derech. His Talmud, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, did both. His Talmud, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, wrote the Sefer Nefesh HaChayim, and he created the Yeshiva of Volozhin. Almost every yeshiva, Ashkenazic yeshiva today, both Chassidish and Litvish, could trace its roots to the Yeshiva of Volozhin. Almost every yeshiva. Name a yeshiva, I'll show you how it traces its roots to Yeshiva of Volozhin. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Sefer Nefesh HaChayim quotes a fascinating medrash. And this is clearly from the Machshava of the Gra. And it's a very, very important medrash, and one needs to really spend time understanding this medrash. The medrash says, the same David HaMelech spoke about before, that inspired us about this idea of Nekicha Paim Bar Levav, who wrote, tell me if you agree with me about this, I think David HaMelech Sefer is the most popular, best-selling work written in the history of mankind by a mortal being. Knows the Bible is the most important book, the entire compass of the Bible. And then Tehillim, which is composed by David HaMelech, is the most popular bestseller in the history of mankind. David HaMelech finishes writing Tehillim that we all connect to in some way. And he finishes writing Tehillim, and then he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the time I took to write Tehillim, I ask you that you turn it and consider it as if I was involved in learning halafa. He actually mentioned the halafas that we spoke about before, taharos. That's what David HaMelech said. Consider it as if I was involved in taharos. That's what the Medrash says. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner points out two things. Number one is, we don't necessarily know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it's considered on that level, as if he was involved in taharos, as if he had written a sefer on taharos, number one. And number two, the most basic question is, what in the world? Tehillim is the most spiritual expression of man in the history of humanity, and yet David HaMelech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should consider it as significant as if he was involved in halacha. Two very strong questions. The answer, I want you to think about, because it's a deep answer from the Nefesh HaChayim. Nefesh HaChayim says the following Terutz. The Nefesh HaChayim says, and this is very important, and I find that many young men and many young women don't have this clear. Nefesh HaChayim says that there are two parts of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is what the world refers to as Dveikus. Dveikus means a sense of feeling. This is Reb Chaim Volozhiner's definition. Feeling of closeness to God. And there's no greater work in the world, there's no greater medium in the world than Tehillim that creates that. Now, if you'll say to me, well, I'm not sure that I feel that when I read Tehillim, but do you feel that way when you sing songs at a kumzitz? Well, most of the songs at a kumzitz are from Tehillim, are inspired from Tehillim. And when a person is feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through a kumzitz and so on, singing, spending time thinking about poetry, about relationships, relationships with God, relationships with others, all of that finds its source in Dveikus, Dveikus being relationships being attached, and being close to God. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner argues, and this is going to be, if you push back on this, I understand, but I want you to really think about this. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says there's actually a higher madrega than Dveikus. And that is when a person becomes one with God. Through halacha and Torah, one becomes one with the will of God. What is Torah? Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Torah is the moral will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more and more a person learns, attaches themselves with the will of God, the more and more they go back to their original source and they become one. And I'm going to explain the difference between proximity, being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and becoming one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just finish the idea and then I want to take your question. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says like this. He says, the Torah tells us to attach ourselves to God. God, we can't really attach ourselves to Him. Because ultimately, ein lo guf ve'ein lo dmus haguf. You really, really can't come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we connect our wills entirely to His will. And Torah is the will of Kudsha Brich Hu. Torah is the will of a Kudsha Brich Hu, and we, when our will becomes one with His will, we become one with Kudsha Brich Hu. I want to bring this out with a mashal, and then I'll take your question. I think this mashal, I want you to really think about this, because this will actually have impact about how you look at seminary too. And I think this will have, or might open up your vistas of understanding these two forms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Debateless could be a feeling of closeness by saying Tehillim, Davening, Akumzitz, and so on and so forth. And then the other part of coming one with the will of God. Here's a seminary analogy. There are two girls. This is the first year, Baruch Hashem, I know the seminary. So there are two girls. Is there going to be a Shana Bet next year? Yes. Fantastic. Okay. So the two girls, Shana Bet girls. I used to teach Shana Bet, so I have a special place in my heart for Shana Bet. The two girls, two Shana Bet girls, they go back after their second year in seminary. They go back to America. And each one of them wants to stay connected to their teachers. One of the girls does a fantastic job staying connected to her teacher. She calls her. And I apologize for the teacher in advance when she doesn't call her back, because I've done that before. The teacher was so busy, she tries a second time. And she finally, she stays at it, and she keeps in touch with her teachers, and she keeps the kesher. And then Baruch Hashem, when she gets engaged, she calls her. And she's lucky enough that her parents could afford that when she gets married, that she's able to fly the teacher in for her wedding. Not only that, after she gets married, she keeps up the connection. When she has a child, she calls the teacher. When things are tough, she calls the teacher. 10 years later, she's now almost 30 years old. She still has a kesher with that teacher. That's something amazing. And a seminary that's able to do it, and the students that are able to do it, it's something that's precious. Then there's the same girl who was in the same class. She doesn't call as much to the teacher. When she gets married, her parents can't afford to fly the teacher in. But 10 years later, at age 29, if you ask the girls from that Shana Bet class, what will be Gesher 2024? They ask them from that class, 10 years later, it'll be 2034. Mirtz Hashem, Abo Leinu Latova. Tuf Shin. Wow. Sadi Hey. Tuf Shin. Sadi Dal. They ask the classmates, who in the class embodies the lessons, the ideas, the morals, and the ethics of the teacher? And they pick the second girl. Who's closer to the teacher? The first girl or the second girl? Girls today and boys today say, he's still close with that Rebbe. You know when they say close, that means he's still in touch with that Rebbe. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, there's another way of looking at it. It could very well be, the second girl is actually closer to her teacher. Not close, but she's become one with the ideas. Lahavdil elif alfei hevdalot. An individual who not only has proximity to God, feels God in their lives, but lives the will and the ethics of God Himself, that individual becomes one with that Kaddish Baruch Hu. The second girl, you know what? They formulate it this way. The first girl is closer to the teacher, but the second girl has become one with her teacher. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, halacha, ameus v'teira, nirf Hashem, every single one of you should dream to marry someone who's an amel b'Torah. Amelus b'Torah is that which creates a sense of oneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the determination to follow halacha does that. So that's number one. The first thing that halacha does particularly, that Dveikus doesn't do, saying Tehillim is not enough, because life is about attaching ourselves to God and going through the world through the will of God. And by the way, if it's not clear to you how halacha is the will of God, then bother your teachers. Question and ask. Because you deserve to understand that. And if you're not seeing how that works, then you're missing something. And you want to ask and go further. Now you had a question. Yeah. Go ahead.
Higher for Dreykov to make this was about
that the way we're formulated as precisely as possible is Dveikus in the terms of Chayav HaLashon, Tehillim, Tefillah, and so on, is one creates closeness to God, which is a beautiful thing. When God forbid someone is going through a time of darkness, to feel God close to them is extremely, extremely important. But at the end of the day, to become one with God is to live God's will, God's ethics. And that's what Amilas Batera and Halacha does. That's the first reason why Halacha is such a central part of our relationship. The second part of why Halacha, the second Yisod, we're going to give three Yisodos today to answer why particularly Halacha, B'siyata D'Shemayim. Number two is something that I think many of you could appreciate, but maybe you haven't thought about. Many of you who are zochah to grow up in homes that kept Shabbos, even the most basic form of keeping Shabbos. It could be you come to seminary and you learn that there are halachos that they didn't keep at home. Or you were zochah to have connections, even if you didn't grow up in such a home, but you were influenced by individuals who kept Shabbos. I want to describe to you the Mesiras Nefesh of the average modern Orthodox individual today in the United States of America. I'm not talking about now people who are fully shomer halacha and mitzvahs. I'm talking about the most basic Sabbath observant modern Orthodox family. If you grew up in such a family, then that odds are that you grew up in a neighborhood where your parents bought a home that was within walking distance to a shul. And that home was twice, if you grew up in suburbia, was twice the price of a home that was not walking distance to the shul. And the reason why your parents did that is because they wanted to keep basic halachos, that basic Orthodox observance. In other words, halacha demands sometimes mesiras nefesh from us. It demands from us a certain commitment to God. That, by the way, just as an aside, I want you to spend a little bit of time and be thankful to your parents for that. Sometimes you're going to learn halacha and you say, oh, my parents didn't keep this and my parents didn't keep that. Just think about that. They could have just as well bought a home 6 miles over, 7 miles over for almost half the price in many, 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 many neighborhoods. And what happened over there? What's the background? Let's go back in time. 80 years ago, Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal and Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal come to America, and the conservative and reform movements reign in the United States of America. So United States of America and Judaism, you won't recognize it at all if you're Michael J. Fox and go back to 1950. There's hardly any Orthodox Jews. And what happens is the conservative rabbis at the time say, the only way we're going to manage to maintain Jewish continuity is if we're going to have to say that in this case, the halacha that said that if you turn on a car and it's ignited, that's an Isser D'Oraisa, and a person can drive to shul. So the conservative rabbi said, well, we're going to compromise on this halacha for the sake of Jewish continuity. And there were great men, great halachists, that said, wait a second. The moment you're going to throw this out, you're going to end up throwing other things out. The moment you're going to throw this out, you're going to say someone who's born from a Jewish father is Jewish. And yes, it's going to be inconvenient. And yes, It's going to be hard, and people are going to have to be moser nefesh, but that is what halacha demands of us. So the second yesod of halacha is that halacha asks us at times to do inconvenient things, because that's the way we maintain our relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu. And part of a relationship requires sacrifice. If we're going to have a true relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, there are times that we have to make tough choices. Mir Tashem, every single one of you are going to build beautiful homes. In order to build a beautiful home, you have to sacrifice. Your parents sacrificed for Shabbos, and it could very well be also that you might have to sacrifice for something else. You might have to sacrifice for the next Madrega. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's next Nisayon for you is eating the Hadron when it comes to Kashrus, maybe you're there, maybe you're not. But that is something that becomes part of your relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu. So two things about why particularly halacha. If it was all about a sense of inspiration, so there are two things that would happen. Number one, the person would have proximity, but wouldn't become one with the ethical will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number two, the other piece is that at the end of the day, if it's all about inspiration, then a relationship made out of sacrifice isn't created. So Orthodox community's relationship with Hashem and the resurgency of Orthodoxy was because Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, and Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal believed in us, in your parents, that they had the ability to sacrifice. And finally, the last piece, and maybe in some ways the most important. It's definitely one that gets into the zeitgeist, the culture that exists today in America. When I think of this topic, I always come back to my first year after I came back to, we made Aliyah Baruch Hashem 19 years ago. And I was driving back to the yeshiva that probably had the greatest impact in molding me, even though I was open to learn in other yeshivas. But I was driving back to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Gelfand. Anybody know what that yeshiva is? It's funny. I was driving to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Gelfand, which is Yeshiva University. Yeshiva University was a yeshiva before it was Yeshiva University, and it's always been a yeshiva. Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Gelfand. So I was driving back up the FDR, and there's these big billboards. Now, for men, probably for women also, most of the billboards in America you're not allowed to look at. But this one I was allowed to look at. It was a fancy sports car. And I look up at it. I think it wasn't really a great company. I think it was Nissan. Nissan doesn't do a good job doing sports cars. It was a fancy sport car, Nissan sports car. And then in big letters, these billboards are amazing. They're like five stories high. And when you've been in Israel for a while, every time you see it, you're taken aback. Although, unfortunately, they're starting to get those in Israel as well. Five stories high, and it says, next to that yellow sports car, it says in big black letters, be a saint, be a sinner, just be. Now, I have no idea. Obviously, it was a playoff of Nike's Just Do It, the Maven Yavin. But what? That was amazing, that line. The culture. The culture that you have in America is just be. Be a saint, be a sinner, just be. Now, how that gets you to buy a yellow sports car, I have no idea. But that's the advertising. And underlying so much of what we grew up with in Western society was what's called today relativism. Everybody is allowed to be the way they are. Just be. Everybody has a right to choose. Torah doesn't believe that. Torah believes that there's actually something called right and there's actually something called wrong. There's an objective right and there's an objective wrong. What halacha reminds us is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that there is a right way for us to serve him and then there is a mistaken way for us to serve him. And being omel in Torah and toiling in Torah and learning halacha and an affinity of halacha brings a person to the subconscious. It's a beautiful subconscious element of the Torah that we go through life thinking about, is this right or is this wrong? And it's a counter to the culture of relativism. And who doesn't want, deep down, go through life living that way? Living a way in which we aspire to be better people as opposed to just living people. There's a beautiful story that's said about that same yeshiva of Elazhin, which is referred to as the mother of all yeshivas. Interesting that they use the term mother. It's fascinating. The mother of all yeshivas is Elazhin, that they use the feminine form. The mother of all yeshivas had the great Gaon Rabbi Eisel Lefarif visit it in the 19th century. Rabbi Eisel Lefarif was the Rav of Nevardik. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And the backstory was, he wasn't just visiting because he was advised to say a shir at the yeshiva. He was visiting because he was looking for actually a shidduch for his daughter. Now, I don't necessarily advocate this way today. My daughter just, Baruch Hashem, got engaged, and we didn't... Thank you. She just got engaged. We didn't look for a boy this way, but once upon a time, this is how they looked for a boy in Europe. And maybe it was appropriate then, but it's not appropriate anymore. Rav Eisel Lefarif went to the yeshiva of Elazhin, and he came to say a shir, and then left off the shir with a bomb question, a very, very strong question. And Rav Eisel Lefarif was looking for a boy that was appropriate for his daughter. And he was waiting to see who was going to come over to answer the question. So one boy came over to answer the question, and Rav Eisel Lefarif said to him, it doesn't fit with another Gemara. You're right in this Gemara, but this Gemara doesn't fit. Another boy came over to him, and he said, nah, that's not the depth of the idea. Every single answer Rav Eisel Lefarif wasn't happy with. So he was supposed to stay in the yeshiva for 2 days, and he's leaving after those 2 days, and his carriage is pulling out. And then there's a boy that comes running out of the Beis Medrash of Elazhin. Now, I heard this story twice when I was young. I heard it from Reb Brian Spiegel Zatzal, who I mentioned before. Reb Brian Spiegel said this story, he started crying. And my Rebbe in 8th grade, Lev Lippa Geldworth, told me the story that he first had heard this from Rav Kersner, who was an elder Lithuanian Rav, who, as he said, was actually paralyzed from his shoulders down. And he said, when he told him the punchline of the story, he started to cry as well. It's fascinating. When my Rebbe was telling the story and started crying, then I realized somehow the story resonates very, very deeply in their soul. What is it about the story? Let's get to the punchline. So a boy runs out. Now, Rav Lippa Geldworth told us the name of the boy. This is not known because Rabbi Pesach Krohn now made the story famous. About 20 years ago, he put it into one of the Maggid books. I heard it before Rabbi Krohn put it in the Maggid books. And Rabbi Krohn does not have the name of the boy in the book, in the story. The name of the boy, Rav Geldworth told us, was Rav Yosef Schlupper. That was his name. Can't make up that name. Rav Yosef Schlupper came running out of the Beis Medrash. And later I saw a picture of Rav Yosef Schlupper as an old man. Rav Yosef Schlupper comes running out of the Beis Medrash, and he says to Rav Eisel Lefarif, he says to him, I'll say it in Yiddish, because that's how he said it, and it's important for you to enjoy the Yiddish, even if you don't understand it. Rav Eisel, vergesst von der Shidduch. Rav Eisel, forget about the Shidduch. Aber wie advele kennst der Gena Beck von Belazhin mit der Kasha an der Territ. But how could you leave us with a kasha without a therapist? And how's the fairy tale go? Rabbi Eisel looks at the boy and he says, you're the one I'm looking for. Later I saw a picture of Yosef Schlupper as an old big tzaddik as the rav of where Rabbi Eisel Lefarif was the rav. Notice ultimately he succeeded Rabbi Eisel Lefarif as the rav of that city. You know why my rabbeim cried? My Rebbeim cried because Torah is about the desire for our search for truth. When we call up a Rav and we ask a Shaila, what are we supposed to do? What we're saying is we're looking for an Emet. And we are surrounded by a world that denies often that there is an objective Emet. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya. To be able to be Anshei Halacha. Sometimes today, unfortunately, what's happened is people think that there are people who are halachic and then there are people who are spiritual. That's not true at all. Halacha is the gateway for spirituality. Halacha is the way to review what we learned this morning. Mekich ha'payim, having clean hands, and then to embarrass love. That ultimately halacha makes a way for us to fill in our hearts. And why particularly halacha? Three reasons. Because spirituality, the bakeless, creates proximity to God, and man and woman need it. But ultimately, there's actually something greater than Nefesh HaChayim says, and that is to become one with the will of God. That's why halacha. Number two, the other reason for halacha is halacha demands from us sometimes mesiras nefesh. We have hakaras hatov to our parents for their mesiras nefesh and their way, and then there are times that we're going to have our mesiras nefesh. The fact that it's not easy sometimes to keep halacha, by the way, don't take homers that your teachers tell you not to take. Asul kalila. Go slowly and methodically. But the relationship is created. Relationship is created through sacrifice. And finally, halacha is the way that we tell the world that we believe that there's a right and wrong. And most importantly, not only what we tell the world, but we tell ourselves. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a siyata d'shmaya, that we should be zoche to be anshei halacha, anshei ruchani, to go b'derech ha'emes. My Gemara Shiur is not until for another hour and a half, so I have another couple of minutes if there are any questions, follow-up questions that you want to ask. Yeah.
So honestly, we're thinking about, like, think of how the third, right? What do you say? I mean, I know, can I answer that, but like a reality sense, like, he focused on truth, because
the answer of beauty in Torah is no. We have expression elu ve'elu. Both are correct. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. B'shneirem al panas yedefo, the Navi says. Don't let your hands go from both of them. We need to do both. Because at the end of the day, it's true. Halacha does all what we said, becomes one with the will of God. Halacha is mesiras nefesh. Halacha is the way in which we make a statement to ourselves that there's right and wrong. But what it doesn't do is, at times, it doesn't necessarily create that sense of closeness. I've internalized from my father, Harenin Kaparas Mishtovo, so many values. But there are times that I miss the closeness to him. The closeness itself to one's Rebbe, to one's father, in itself gives a person strength. So the answer is that we need the closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the strength that's necessary. Okay? So, wishing you much, much, much hatzlafa b'chol ma'aseh yedeichem. Sure.